Hey there. I wanted to bring today's episode to the podcast talking all about intimacy. Yes, we are going there. I am chatting with a sex coach and I'm excited to actually have her as part of my program now as a referral source. So for our couples and our couples coaching program, and you know, obviously if you're on the fertility journey, many people of lovemaking, it's changed over to baby making and a lot of that intimacy, the pleasure, the fun, the connection, really the big piece of this is the connection you have with your partner may have changed. So we're going to talk about ways to reconnect from a spiritual side of things, your sensuality. And then also we're talking about sex toys. We're talking about self-pleasure and really how do you open this conversation with your partner so you can have great sex and prepare to have your baby. So excited for you to listen. Let's go. Are you stuck in a food rut? Not sure exactly what to eat to enhance your fertility? I'm excited to announce that our summer fertility recipe guide is ready. All you need to do is go to fertilitydietfreebie.com to grab your free copy. And your free guide includes a meal plan, grocery shopping list, and everything you need to get started with nourishing foods that improve your chances of pregnancy success. All you need to do is go to fertilitydietfreebie.com. That's FERTILITYDIETFREEBIE.com, fertilitydietfreebie.com. I didn't need to go to donor eggs. Obviously, I don't regret it. I have beautiful children. I could have done things differently. I was still cycling back in my 20s. I could have looked at my health, the environmental toxins, the stress I was under.
Many, many women are being told their eggs are too old. That's an assumption. You can't test egg quality.
Many times it's the man. It's the man who's got a food sensitivity or a zinc deficiency.
There can be a root cause to these quote-unquote period problems. The doctor will pass you a pill without any question of why.
Why is IVF the first step? Because we believe it should be the last step. Welcome to Get Pregnant Naturally, where functional medicine and natural fertility solutions will help you get pregnant and have your baby. Hey there, I'm Sarah Clark, founder of FabFertile and your host. I believe the functional approach is the first step for anyone struggling with infertility, and my aim is to help you get pregnant naturally. Today, I'm welcoming Trish Wright to the podcast, and we're digging into sexual health and how we could help increase intimacy when you're on the fertility journey. Trish Wright is a heart-centered lover of life and certified sex and relationship coach, senior love coach and love coach academy, and co-host of the Self Love Show and the Awakening World. She believes that relationships are the greatest wealth we have and will help you cultivate more deeply intimate connections, primarily focused on dissolving codependent trauma bonds and sexual empowerment. Her work helps repattern old behaviors and thoughts into full yes choices and sovereign embodiment. Thanks so much for listening. I'm so thankful that you're here. Make sure you hit subscribe or follow. And if you know someone else who is on the fertility journey, please share this podcast with them. Hey, Trish, excited to have you on the podcast.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Awesome. Can you share your journey, really, how you came to do this work? I don't think anyone, well, maybe you did, but I'm not sure many people start out by saying, hey, I'm going to be a sex coach or a sex educator. So how did you come to do this work?
Wow, that's a great story. You know, if I look back in time, I was always a very particular type of person. Like even my curiosity as a little girl, my mom would watch Dr. Ruth. I would crawl on the floor and sneak around the corner, watch Dr. Ruth. I mean, yeah. So if I look back in time, I'm like, wow, I was really walking through like to this. When I finally started getting to the understanding that this is probably my path, I had gone through some sexual traumas and I started really going to therapy and finding ways to transform that experience inside of me. Some people call this their healing journey. Other people call this, you know, transformation. And I really, yeah, like from that point, I was like, oh, I'm gaining all these skills and all this knowledge to heal through my own trauma. And some of my friends were like, have you heard about the Advanced Institute of Human Sexuality? I think that's what it's called. Or in San Francisco, the city would be. Like, no, but I was young and I didn't have a bachelor's degree at the time and all of these things. So I couldn't go. I started to get into other things that I could get into. So at that time, a sacred sexuality program. And then I started learning BDSM, and then I started learning comprehensive sex education. And then I started to move into the sexology program that I took with Dr. Patty Britton and Robert Dunlop, Sex Coach University. So it was kind of the personal journey of my own healing and wanting to get in touch with my body and understanding it, not only from a mind, body, spiritual level, but really coming at it from like a clinical perspective as well.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Really all those different, and you weave in a whole different bunch of modalities into your work. So it's not just like one thing. It's many different things that we talked about in your bio there. So let's first of all talk about, obviously during the fertility journey, you know, it can be all, and we've talked about this, but like all about baby making instead of love making. So the thing that actually gave you joy and connected you as a couple, now it becomes, you know, performance for the men and sort of like the fertile window for the woman or for both of them. And it just becomes very kind of robotic. And perhaps the spontaneity, the joy, the things that it connected you as a couple, that may have gone out the window. So, and we're going to get into a little bit more later, but so how do we reconnect? We're in the middle of that, sort of in that middle of the struggle, the messy middle, perhaps.
I'm just going to ask you all who are watching and listening, do you love to do things that you're told or you're expected or obligated to do? Yeah, nobody likes that. It doesn't feel good in our bodies. That is not the sexiest place. Like, there is no place that I want to be like, you need to do this. And I'm like, oh yeah, that makes me feel good. I think the first piece of connection is really connecting to the person, to their wants and needs, to align with the values. So the reason why I have so many modalities for not just sex coaching, but for relationship coaching is because we've got to look at it holistically, right? You've got to look at what is going on. And that's a lot of what your practice does, is looking at a lot of what mind, body, spirit stuff going on as well. So addressing the whole person. How I would start is getting curious about my partner and what it feels like for them in this moment. That's how I would start, to just get curious about the embodied sensation and feeling and what their deep longings for, you know, like it might sound a little like I'm really struggling because I want this fertility program. I'm doing all this work and I'm stressed out and work is crazy. I don't have time to slow down and I want relaxation. Or I want fun, or I want something new, or, I mean, it could be a zillion many things depending on who you are and what you like. So it's that. It's connecting to what maybe non-sexually your partner is longing for, and maybe even if the intimacy and the safety and the vulnerability is created, to be able to go into that conversation of what do you long for sexually. Again, you'd have to build a level of trust, emotional trust and rapport there, even in current and stable relationships. It's a constant creation of relationships.
Yeah, it's interesting when you're like, oh, wait, he's not doing this for me or she's not doing this for me. And it's, wait a minute. Well, if we do something for someone else and think about their needs sometimes, then many times our needs are met because we're, just how it works, right? But sometimes we're just like, oh, we're waiting and hoping the person's going to read our mind instead of seeing, or you just opening the conversation, really.
Have you had this experience, Sarah? Like, has your partner or anybody else ever read your mind correctly?
He's pretty good at it, but 26 years of marriage. And sometimes when I'm like, when he does it, I'm like, you were supposed to know. Like, what are you didn't get it there? And he's like, no, I didn't get it. But most of the time, we're pretty in tune. But yeah, to know the deep inner work, like, I think perhaps that for me and for him and I, because sometimes with our relationship, it ends up me being a little more chatty than him. And like for him to tell me, that takes a little bit of giving him space to actually open up about that, because I'm always yammering on about me.
There's a lot of places where it's harder for men to be in their bodies because there's socializations and then there's family stuff. And then there's just the fear of being that vulnerable and the understanding that there's like a lot of sort of beliefs, you know? So being able to, for a male body to get in touch with his feelings and to get in touch with his wants and needs might take some space and time. I don't know about you, but that's my favorite way. You know, for women who have menstruation, we're really in touch with our bodies, the sensations that are going on. And yeah, just all of the body stuff, like, oh, I have a headache, or oh, I have this, or oh, I feel really good in my body, or oh, I'm, you know, we're much more in tune with the animal that we live in. What I am speaking about is even before the kind of mind reading place is like finding ways to cultivate curiosity and authentic sharing through vulnerability, like the emotional and the heart connection there first before you step into an intimate relationship. When you're doing the fertility stuff and it becomes more mechanical, you're not really connecting. Connection starts with the truth of it all between you and me.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And so what can they expect with a sex educator? Kind of like, what does a session look like? What could a couple expect there?
Well, first thing you're going to do is fill out some very long form that's going to give me a pretty clear understanding of what your beliefs around sex are, what your beliefs around intimacy, what your desires, what you want, what you may be challenged or struggling with. It'll help me understand your fertility journey as well. So I'll come in with you both doing your separate forms and being able to read that, and then come in with a few more questions, what you want and what you're really seeking. And then we'll go into more of a looking at your fertility journey and what you both are longing for. And we're going to find ways to massage that together so that you can get really the intimacy that you're seeking. And that could look a lot like, I mean, we're going to have probably a Zoom conversation. And the first session is always a little nervous and it has a lot of energy and maybe a lot of excitement because you don't know. But I'm going to come to you from a place of non-judgment and a place of full acceptance and really a place of loving curiosity of where you're at. Like, how can I hear what you both want, what you're both longing for, and move you towards the direction of your dreams, which is, you know, likely having children, but also keeping the intimacy and the passion and the love and the connection alive as well. Because I know that fertility is, yeah, it has a lot. You know, I have a lot of friends going through that and it's just a lot of emotion coming up for them. So I can hold all of that that comes up. And then we'll have some separate sessions where you'll be able to share a little bit more intimately if you want and share some ways that we can individually work on your sensuality and your sexuality, and then move together towards what you both want. Make sense?
Yeah. So to kind of the separate sessions and then bring to get together to have the conversation kind of about what happened in those separate sessions, or what does that look like?
Yeah. Well, what I notice in some sessions is that, you know, the first session you want to share about where you're both at. Like the first session is a very collected, like you together as an entity. And sometimes people don't share as authentically or honestly when their partner's there. There's some shyness or some fear of rejection. And so in the individual sessions, we work on what you specifically might need to work on, which could look like more masturbation, more self-pleasure, more, you know, working on maybe communication skills, or maybe defining your sensual sexual wants and needs. Or maybe it's like working with the pain of sex. Maybe one of you has some pain and then we'd work with that. But whatever's going to be coming up is going to be what we're going to work on first. And so there's the couple section where you're together and then you get to have your session where you get to work on whatever you need to work on individually. And then another comeback session where you can like, hey, this is what I did in my homework, or my home play is what I like to call it, my home play. And this is what I'm learning about myself. And this is what I'm learning about my relationship and the intimacy between us, and then another session to also just compound on that as well.
Yeah. And I had a session with Trish and it was questions that, you know, obviously you've never been asked before. And it was, some of it could be a little uncomfortable, but it didn't feel uncomfortable because you don't make it feel uncomfortable. Right. And so it's in that safe space, that safe container that you feel like, okay, I can be vulnerable, say the stuff that maybe you've said to no one. And that's like the part of the coach and the person that's, you know, supporting you as well, that to be able to let these things out. Because sometimes we don't tell anyone and we think we're weird, or, you know, we feel judged, or yeah. So to have that safe space is key.
Well, if you knew some of the things that I've seen. So in my program, I'll just tell you a share of personal stories. Is in my program, you're invited or required for graduation to do multiple SARs. They're called SARs, or sexual attitude reassessments. And they put you in front of a lot of different experiences to kind of shake up your judgments, because they want you to like look at the judgments, dissolve them, and recognize that there's 7.8 billion realities on this planet, or people on this planet, 7.8 billion different desires. I don't know what you might like. And to actually be able to not be shocked when someone says, well, I want that. And I'd be like, I've never heard that before. I've done a lot of that research on my own because I'm like, you know what? I work with the spectrum of clients and genders that I work with are very vast. So acceptance and compassion and empathy are foundations of my practice. Like that's the foundation that we're working with.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And so we'll get into more of some of the tactical stuff as we go along here, but let's just talk about to increase sensuality and the spirituality side of things. Like how do we go about doing that piece?
Sensuality or spirituality?
No, let's do sensuality first. Yeah.
So sensation based. So to get back into the body is to be really present in the moment. The body is here. It's not thinking and it's not in the past and it's not in the future. It is literally here. So to focus on sensations that are happening now is a really beautiful, we'll call it meditation for a lack of a better term in this moment. It's kind of a beautiful meditation to really drop your focus into the present moment. So when you're focusing on sensation, it's actually a really relaxing place for your nervous system. We're starting to drop into that frontal lobe. We're starting to drop your nervous system into more regulation, right? So when you're focused on touch or sensation, like, oh, I can feel, I can sensate these moments in my body. And that right there is a place of connection to self. And then if another person's touching, that's another place of connection to the other. I mean, like literally connection skin to skin to another, right? And our bodies are literally wired for co-regulation. And should I define that? Yeah. So co-regulation is where both bodies start to energetically, peripheral sort of spiritual level, but also on a nervous system level to regulate, to sort of align with each other. You can see this with babies and different types of hugs. So when you lay a baby on your chest or an animal, they'll start to rhythm their breath with you. That is called co-regulation. And a lot of us deeply desire that. That's, you know, cuddling is a thing that a lot of couples don't spend a lot of time doing. Just being silent with each other, holding each other to co-regulate their bodies, to get into that same vibrational energetic frequency connection. But it also rewires the brain for oxytocin. It rewires the brain for contentment in that sense. So that's the sensual approach. And then to bring it more from sensual or sensational to sexual sensual is intentional touch that, gosh, have you ever been touched in a way that someone's like mechanically doing it? I know. And you're like, well, that wasn't sexy. But when someone is putting their focus and their time and their attention and they're really just there with you, the sensation of their presence is so much more erotic, you know? So that place is like when you bring intentional presence sensation into the body that's without agenda. And I'd like to just drop this in. So having the agenda piece is the biggest killer for sexuality and arousal, which is no fun to have an agenda. But to bring this like sensation, this touch without agenda allows your body and your brain to relax. Because that's what we really like in sex, a lot of us, is like to be in the moment, to have this fun moment with our partners. I'm like, oh, yes, this is great. I finally get to be with my partner in the present moment, having fun. It's sexy, it's delightful, and there's possibility, right? There's mystery of what might happen instead of being like, this is what we're doing. It's Tuesday night. It's 8:30. We're going to put it on Netflix.
Yeah. The reason why I wanted you to bring you as part of, you know, referral partner as part of our program is because it's like we're working typically with type A busy professionals that are like, you know, we're addressing biochemical issues and working on your thyroid and your blood sugar and addressing food sensitivities and gut infections. And ours, it's a mind, body, spirit approach. And I really feel because I'm like this, I get caught up in the logical over in the, oh, okay, great. I'm going to like eat this perfect diet and work on my gut infections. And then just before this call, I was like, God, my phone was beeping away. like all this stuff going on. I can literally feel myself like just getting like constricted and just like, I don't know. I just felt extra stressed today for some reason, just a bunch of stuff going on. And a lot of us get that way. So luckily I can like know it before. It was years and years of chronic stress. I had no freaking clue that that was going on. I even would have said I wasn't stressed. Now I can kind of see when I've gone out of alignment. I'm like, okay, Sarah, you got to focus on sleep, focus on stuff that, you know, makes you happy and joyful. And so this piece is when you're on the fertility journey to be able to, you know, get into the present moment with your body and cuddle with your partner. And like, that's the stuff. Like, okay, great. We want you to look at the diet and the gut infections, all that stuff. That's equally as important. But I think this piece with your partner, with joy, with intimacy, and it's not just on this rigid clock of we've got to do it. Like, how do we bring back that pleasure and lowering our cortisol? Because, you know, when you're up in that fight or flight kind of side of things, and you're like yelling at the partner to say, let's go, we got the fertile window right now. Not to say that maybe you or maybe it's not. But yeah, I just think this piece is like, it's overlooked. I just think it's so important for us to, and then to recognize though, that also that there could be trauma around this. If you've gone through, you know, most people that we work with, they've gone through multiple failed IVFs. This has put quite a strain on their relationship. Most people we find are doing okay as a couple, but they might have just the whole thing that, you know, the intimacy that brought them together, there's extra pressure there for them to, you know, that they want to have their baby. And it doesn't matter when you start trying, that's the time you want to have your baby, however old you are. So the cuddling, the massage, like some of those things, but really like that connection on a deeper kind of spiritual level to connect with your partner. Yeah. How do you, yeah. So it's like opening up that conversation, right? My husband and I are like, we're like goofy and like, I'm not sure if I shared this with you before, but I was at a wedding and they were like, there was this young couple and they were citing their vows and there were these long pages of vows of how they love each other. And it was like this, wow, like this romantic and it was like serious and they were crying. And I thought, my God, never in a million years could I see my husband and I up there reciting these romantic, that's just not how we are. We're like goofy and jokey and laughy. And obviously, like we've been married for 26 years, we love each other and all that, but that's just not kind of how our relationship is. You know, obviously we get serious at times, but yeah, how do you connect on a spiritual level without going, oh yeah, this is like crazy, you know, that kind of thing?
Well, after years of researching spiritual sexuality, you know, at some point in my 20s, there was something about sex with my partner that felt like there was something missing. And I was like, there's got to be a way to bring spirituality or God into our sex life. There's got to be a way to honor the divine connection, not only between our bodies, but to the greater mystery in the world. And he wasn't so into that. He became not my partner. Obviously. And through my exploration of, you know, different spiritual practices, and I'm just the kind of person to go into something. Like I did a lot of research in Mormon sexuality and Catholic and Christian sexuality, as well as the Neo-Tantra sexuality pieces. I just wanted to know. And to bring spirit or God or whatever the word, my word is universe, to bring that in is, again, the piece of presence, is the piece of gratitude for the granular pieces of the moment, right? It's like to not separate ourselves from the divine, but to be like, wow, this moment is so sacred, just as it is, in our goofiness, in our laughter. Because that's the one thing that I don't like about the spiritual or very religious community is that it's really serious. And I'm like, no, God is really in my laughter. Like God is very much there. And spirit is very much there. And creator is that's part of life. Because I think that life is sacred. Life is the creation of just that vibrational, like, moment of connection. So some of us are romantic. Some of us are not. Some of us want to make jokes all the way through. And I think that it's just honoring that piece in the moment without taking it too seriously, to remember that there's joy in it. I mean, if you like your spreadsheets in the bedroom, that is not the way I like to spread my sheets. So to each their own. I have a lot of people who are really into spreadsheets. Like,
my husband, he's a spreadsheet guru. I'm like, no, thank you. That's not my jam.
Yeah, I have friends who were like, can you put my homework in a spreadsheet? And I was like, y'all are, wow.
Yeah, and I just visualize like with that being like so connected, right, with your partner, with that the spiritual piece. And then, so for me, like I was diagnosed with premature ovarian insufficiency. We went straight to donor eggs. I didn't even try naturally to ever, you know, have my children, because I years later discovered all these gut infections and food sensitivities. So for someone who's gone through many years of like visualizing it and, you know, working on it, like every time we have sex and the 2-week wait. And so, yeah, there could be a little bit of fatigue. Well, not a little bit. It could be a lot of fatigue, like compassion fatigue for yourself, for the people around you. Could have, you know, there's compassion fatigue. So yeah, if you've, I guess just to get that back, it's just to open up the conversation, drop back into the present moment, like the gratitude, the sort of honoring where the journey you're on. You may be a different person at this stage too.
I love that you brought that up. I'm always an advocate for deep, deep self-care. I call it epic self-care. Like, what is your epic self-care? And I mean, how I'm going to approach this part of the conversation is that if you're not really doing your self-care, then you can't be available for your partner or anything else. That your stress levels, cortisol and adrenaline are really, really high, which is setting your body into a state of fight, flight, flee, or fawn, which is also stimulating your immune system to attack. But as we know, that the immune system will attack a growing fetus to remove it if it's not in a healthy state. So sex is actually a really good place to drop your nervous system, to create more oxytocin, to drop out of the cortisol and adrenaline place. It's good for your heart. It's exercise. We can call it exercise. It's exercise. It helps with bladder control. It lowers heart attack risk. It also helps lessen pain. It's better for prostate health. It's really good for prostate health, for incontinence. It boosts your immune system and your libido, lowers blood pressure, bladder control. I mean, I could just keep naming the benefits of sex for just your body. This is why I'm also an advocate for self-pleasure, because that's also epic self-care, which doesn't always look like masturbation in my life, but also looks like healthy eating. And how you're communicating with yourself and your partner. Are you doing gentle forms of exercise as well? Are you actually having fun? And I think that this piece is the piece that nobody talks about, is actually having fun, you know? Like that right there, to go on a date night without an agenda of sex, or even with some opportunity to have sex, is like, that right there is going to strengthen your bond, which is going to really strengthen your hormonal tie with that person. So an orgasm also, we know what a male orgasm allows for is like the ejaculatory response. The female orgasm also expands and contracts the cervix. That is also a way to get your semen inside the uterus. There's just benefits of having a more relaxed body when you're enjoying yourself. And I think that that's why people fall in love too, like personality, identity, ego stuff. You know, values aligned and just the way that people move, but also the chemical reaction between bodies. Chemistry is a big thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Eating for your fertility does not have to suck, and it is not about deprivation. It's eating food that tastes amazing and nourishes your body as you prepare for pregnancy success. I'm excited to announce that our summer fertility recipe guide is here. Go to fertilitydietfreebie.com. That's fertilitydietfreebie.com to grab your copy. I have worked with a chef with a nutrition background to prepare these summer recipes. This is a 5-day challenge where you'll learn how food impacts your body while enjoying delicious foods. So this is not about you drinking green juice all day long and starving. It is about eating awesome foods. It includes a meal plan and a grocery shopping list. Start this challenge with your partner today. All you need to do is go to fertility.com.
fertilitydietfreebie.com. That's fertilitydietfreebie.com to grab your summer fertility recipe guide.
My next question around female and male orgasm, really how that's helping with stress. So either together with your partner or the self-pleasure side of things. So like, what does that look like? Obviously we know what it looks like, but like if you were to give like homework to some of your clients, you're like, okay, wait, I want you to do this. Someone like hasn't, you know, masturbated or they haven't had done the self-pleasure side of things. Like, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I will always be an advocate for self-pleasure, for just the incredible benefits, but also the opportunity to learn your body. And I don't believe that you can know all the things about your body. Lovers have taught me things about my body that I was like, what? I can't reach that spot, you know, like just because. But I've been able to share what certain things that I like because I've explored my body. And that I think is an important piece is like, if you have some shame around touching your own body or being open about what your wants and needs, your partner will never know how to actually please you. And a lot of women are socialized to just please men. And a lot of men are socialized to do this like very pornographic kind of sex, which I don't think that most people actually want. But they don't know any better because they don't spend time masturbating. They don't spend time self-pleasing. And when I say self-pleasure, I'm not talking about genital focus specifically. I'm talking about touching yourself. Like, what is it? Do I like this? My partner touches my face all the time and I don't really like it. Or he grabs my arm and I don't like that. Or the way that she does this, I wonder if she might do it differently. And I find often, unless it's a radical change of what they're naturally doing, most people are open to shifts. But again, you have to know what you like. So that's on the educational side. But on the personal side, to spend time learning your body. I have a lot of clients where I go to this sex shop in Berkeley called Good Vibrations, and we'll just talk about sex toys. Why this one's good, or what this might have, not good, but why this one might be better for this person or this person, what they're looking for, just to get the understanding of what maybe your body looks like. And there's both men and women's and trans and, you know, all the sex toys everywhere. They're just making amazing things right now. It's fantastic for all bodies. But really, to get in touch with your body is to really honor yourself, right? To really honor what you want and need, and to bring your nervous system into regulation as well. Yeah, there's a lot of shame in the world around masturbation.
It seems to be a huge market right now, you know, for sex toys, for vibrators. I know Goop has got like you literally go on their site and they have got so many, I don't know, I think she's developed, Gwyneth Paltrow's got probably 6 different vibrators for couple play, for yourself, for, oh yeah, all kinds of them. And I could have sworn that we have a bookstore here in Canada, Indigo. I could have sworn I saw they had vibrators they were selling there as well. Like, it's a bookstore and it's like all these different kind of self-care and stuff like that they have there. And it seems to be, I know Goop did their last Netflix show was the Sex Lab, I think. They had the Wolverine claws, or they're like going over the person's arm with these claws, these little talons. And then they talked about the sex toys and different ways of doing things, of bringing things into the, you know, in the conversation. So it's interesting, you know, because I think years ago, if you said you had a vibrator, people were like, ooh, really? So there was those sex parties, I think. I'm not sure if those are still around, where the sex toys and there's a group of women, everyone's yelling and screaming and hysterical, and then quietly they goes home, see you later. So yeah, what do you think that's going on with like the self-pleasure side of things, just like finally coming out in the open? And it's like, okay, we can talk about that. We all have vibrators.
I love this conversation. So a lot of studies in the past, especially around psychology, body, biology, sexuality, were based in the male perspective. So men were doing research on. And there was not a lot of information about pleasure, especially female pleasure. But the Kinsey Institute started to really look at like pleasure for the females. Like, what does that look like? What does it look like on the inside? They created like a camera vibrator and to see what happens on the inside, and started asking questions around female pleasure, male pleasure, what that looked like, how many people. There's something called the Kinsey scale, where it's around how you know, like what degrees of same sex or opposite sex attraction you have. And they started to really learn that there's a lot of expansiveness around what people like. So what I think is happening is that as there's more sexuality research and understanding around psychology and sex, that we're seeing the benefits of sexual pleasure. We're also seeing that maybe some things we got wrong. There's a lot more information about the G spot and the P spot, and there's a lot of information around nerve endings and what that looks like. And so we're starting to really acknowledge that the erectile tissue of the penis is very similar to the erectile tissue of the clitoris, and that there's a lot of sensations that you can experience there. So in all saying all of that was very technical, sorry. But in saying that, I think that the world is starting to open up and realize that pleasure is important, that sexuality is an important part of the holistic approach to a human being, that we can't, like, you know, expect it to be over here and not look at it and still have happy, healthy, whole lives, that there is a piece of that. I think that there's also an understanding that coming away, like we're moving away from this very traditional male gaze perspective porn that's very like penis focused, that we're moving away from that and seeing more authentic pornography that's more heart-centered, more female pleasure-centric, more based in connection, that's significantly more attractive for both parties because it's connected. Generally, people want, they're literally run by connection in some way or another. Did I answer that question?
Yeah. So the erotica piece of it, because before it was like, well, there's still around. Pornography is like, what is that, $1 trillion? Who knows how big a business is? Massive. But again, sort of that, male focus perhaps. And then there's a number of female startups where it's like erotica stories for women and fantasies kind of from a female perspective that seem to be kind of coming to the surface. Can you kind of share what you're seeing out there as far as that from a female perspective? Which then can, it's not just the female, so then it's for the couple. Maybe talk a little bit about pornography and sort of the female, male, and how we kind of have it together, I guess, is the goal I would expect.
I love this. So it was, the film festival was the Erotica Film Festival, and it was created by a woman in Australia. And what I liked about it is that there were really interesting categories, like differently abled. There was like an authentic kink. There was like an ecosexual one. There was some animation piece. What it was is it was just really well, for an amateur film festival, it was really well, and it was really heart-centered, connected. And I don't need to say, oh, so I know you asked a question about the male-centric pornography. So a lot of the porn that we watch is through what I would consider the male gaze. So it's very objectifying to women. It's very like men as this powerful dominator of vagina or vulva. And I think that as the world moves away from that sort of thinking and that sort of desire based, we're looking at what a lot of people consider feminine, which I think it's just more connected, is that the more sensual pieces of it, the more emotionally heart-centered, connected pieces of intimacy, of romance, of physical and sexual intimacy. So for me, I don't look at it as the polarity of masculine and feminine, but I think of it as more of people wanting and seeking more connected, real life sort of experiences. I mean, I watched one a while ago that was like, they were playing cards on the bed. And I was like, well, that's pretty real. Like, there's no way that my partner's not going to come home as the pizza man. It's just not going to happen. And he's not going to be this like he's a goofy dude with like glasses and he works in IT or something. I don't have a partner right now, but you know, it's like, that's my style. What's really going to happen is we're going to be playing cards and, you know, we're going to eat dinner and it's going to look like this kind of thing, because that's who we are together. And when we start to find more authentic, more connected porn, we start to see that there's lots of expressions and it doesn't look like this very specific sort of like aggressive or poundy sort of sex. We start to see like, oh, this person's in a wheelchair. I'm in a wheelchair. you know, or this person likes this. And I kind of wanted to say that I liked that, but I've been afraid to say that. Or maybe you're watching it with your person and they're like, oh my gosh, that was cool. And you're like, oh my God, I wanted to say that so cool. You know, like, and it creates this real life erotic connection rather than this fantasy that's not really that connected. Again, I'm convinced that people are literally driven by connection.
I agree completely. Yeah. And we all are connected. So it's like, yeah, how do we then, we want more of that, right? And so how about like the agreement with your partner that, you know, I guess if you're sharing fantasies and things like that of like, oh, someone's going to go like, hey, make a joke and say something like outside of it. So how do you make sure as a couple that you obviously have your sex coach and also though that like the safe conversations that you'll have with each other, that it's not like, oh, we're going to be sharing this all around and stuff like that. So how does that look?
Yeah. Well, that's good conversations. It's really like, I'm a big fan of negotiation or consent conversations about conversations. So, hey, this is something I don't want you to share. I have a lot of things that I'm like, hey, you know, because I'm a sex coach, there's some things that I share publicly about my sex life because it's helpful for my clientele or for my audience to understand that that's a real life experience. Sometimes my partners are like, this is very vulnerable to me. I don't want you to share this. And I'd be like, gosh, of course. And then there's some things about my stuff that I don't want them to share because I've had that experience. It's like, oh, you share also all the time. And I'm like, but there are some things that are very vulnerable to me that I don't want anyone else to know. So it's just really like, sometimes we think that our partners should just know not to talk or know these things. And it really is just being explicit and not taking it personally. I do want to touch on a piece about how to share fantasies. Because if you're very one way, like you've done it this way for the last 10 years, but there's a secret fantasy that you want to put on some leather boots and get all like sassy with a whip. When you're like, oh my God, that's what I want. They're going to be like, oh crap, who are you? And I've had a lot of people come to me with that. And I'm like, oh, did you ever let them in? Like, let them in a little bit as you went to fantasy, because that might look very extreme for them. But you've had this whole line of time, maybe 5 years you've been fantasizing about it, and your partner never knew. So to just be very gentle, easing in, to maybe like drop some hints first, test the waters. Because if you come out and you're like, I like this thing that you might think is crazy, then there's this opportunity for rejection, right? Which is a disrupt in the connection. And there's not a way to communicate your boundaries and fantasies in a way that's continuing to stay in connection. Directness, I'm always a big fan, but also doesn't always work. And then also offering compassion on both sides. Like when you share something deeply vulnerable, like, oh, I wanted this for 10 years. And your partner's like, oh my God, I don't even know. How do I do that? I'm not that person. For the person who shared, to have compassion there with their person. And for also the person who's having the feelings, to have compassion for the vulnerability and the bravery and the courage that it took to share. And that's where intimacy's built, right there. Shared negotiation, shared boundaries, shared vulnerability without judgment.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And so actually, do you have any books or documentary app, anything that you're like, ooh, this is really cool, you're obsessed with, you'd love to share, anything kind of come to mind for people?
Well, I have lots of those things. It's like, it depends what you're looking at, you know, like what exactly you're wanting. And I have very specific book recommendations. I am going to just say the Erotica Film Festival was awesome. I was so floored because I didn't have any expectations, but I was like, wow, you know, what else would I recommend in the moment? There's differences between estrogen running bodies and testosterone bodies in what I would share. If you want a good lighthearted film or show, Sex Education is really fun. It's about sex education in schools and it's really light.
Yeah, is it on Netflix?
It's on Netflix. That was a nice way to ease into some of these conversations because it's like a high school that's very sexual and they're really struggling to work out these sort of like abstinence only conversation and the comprehensive sex education conversation, but also brings up a lot of topics around differently abled sex to same sex couples, to challenges in pregnancy, to just intimacy, sexuality issues in general, challenges in general. So it's a fun, light show to ease you into some of the conversations.
I love it. Yeah. I've seen it there. I think it's got 4 or 5 seasons. It's got quite a few seasons, I thought.
It's still, yeah, I really loved it. It kind of made me squeal a little bit because I was like, yay! They're like, it's making mainstream and I'm excited because now the conversation is just going to open up and people are going to have more, you know, just better sex. I mean, maybe that's just what I want in the world, is everyone to have more connection, deeper intimacy, and better sex.
Sounds good. Anything else you want to share there?
I do. You know, I think that's, you know, sometimes the sexuality conversation can be very exciting and also scary. And I know that I share in a way that's very open and maybe even flippant sometimes because I have just so much knowledge. And, you know, I'm going to treat your experience with reverence and I'm going to be very, you know, cautious at first with you, because I think it's important to meet you where you're at. And to know that when you do see a sex coach or a sex therapist, that they're going to treat you lovingly and kindly and really honor your desires and respect you. And I also know and want to invite you to thinking about to expand your sexuality to not just be a genital or a body-to-body experience, but to think about how your sensuality is tied to your heart, tied to your fantasies, tied to your body, and kind of start thinking about those places right there. Like, what is my vast expression of my sexuality look like? And maybe it looks small to you, but once you start really looking into your body and once you really start kind of like touching yourself or reading a book, or maybe you're watching Netflix or whatever, and you're like, I don't know, I'm curious about that. That piqued my interest. Just to take a mental note there, come back to it without judgment. Again, this is a big piece of the practice, is without judgment.
Yeah, I think this has just been a really great conversation, kind of, and all of it, like the compassion, the non-judgment, and then, you know, just talking with your partner. And sometimes when we're in this struggle and trying to have our child, depending on where we are, beginning, middle, or towards the end, it's all consuming. So this piece of the connection piece, I think that, as you say, like we all want to be connected, right? And so doing something that asking for what you want and then listening to what your partner needs as well, then it can just like open up this whole entire other dimension of your relationship that you maybe didn't even know was there.
And the more sex you are having, the more opportunity for conception that you are having. Oh, I remember what I wanted to bring in, is that maybe your sexuality piece looks like having more intentional time with your partner. That's a piece of co-regulating, negotiating of reality of connection there. And if you've lost ideas of where to go on dates, one of my favorite things is to like, I have a running list of things that I could shoot out for you of like, hey, this might be an opportunity. Try this. So you can reach out to me at trish@trishwriteloves.com as an email, and I'll send you that document.
Awesome. And what can they expect in that? Sort of, what do you have there? You have some date ideas there or some intimacy ideas?
Yeah, some date ideas. I'm not going to spam you with any blogging because I don't really do that. But yeah, just some ideas. If you're like, wow, I am not very creative with my date nights. And don't worry, many people aren't. There is a structure. There's a pretty easy structure that I have that you can mix and match the things that you want. And again, one last thing is to create a date night that has no agenda of sex, just to be with your partner. That's not doing the same thing that you generally do. So whether it's creating a dinner or a ritual or some sort of like sacred moment of, hey, we're going to go get massages together, or I want to give you a massage. Or
you also have something on YouTube as well.
Oh, the show? I was like, I love to give things away. So I have the self-empathy tool, which I love. It's one of the most connective, easy 4-step tools that I can offer. And I love to give that one away for free because that's a way to not only just learn how to connect to self, but to learn how to effectively and efficiently communicate your wants, needs, and desires to your partner without the drama of the chatter in your mind. So you can reach out to me for that. You can also reach see me and my business partner, Don Lightamora, on the Self-Love Show every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And that is a wealth of knowledge from coaches and therapists from all over the world, teaching you how to love yourself and other people better. And that's at the Self-Love Show on YouTube. And if you want the date nights, or you want the self-empathy tool, or any of the, you know, I have links to some of the research and resources around the benefits of sex and sex for fertility, just reach out to me through my website at trishwrightglobal.com, or you can email me at trish@trishwrightglobal.com.
Right. So trishwrightglobal.com. We'll have that link in the show notes. And yeah, thanks, Trish. That was a super impactful conversation, and I really enjoyed it. And thanks for all the work that you're doing to bring this conversation to the world. And yeah, thanks again.
Thank you, Sarah. It's a pleasure.
I would like to invite you and your partner to a Supercharge Your Fertility Discovery Call. This call is for you if you meet at least one of the following criteria. You've been trying to get pregnant for at least 2 years. You've been through at least one failed IUI or IVF. This call is for action takers. If you're not ready and you wait, the risk is you'll need to wait 2 to 3 months for a spot to open up. If you're seriously considering work with us, go to fabfertile.com. That's fabfertile.com, and click on apply here. That's fabfertile, fabfertile.com, and click on apply here. Then you'll be booked in and ready to spend 30 minutes to give you the action plan to getting pregnant naturally. The Get Pregnant Naturally podcast, including show notes and links, provides information with respect to healthy living, nutrition, lab testing, and is intended for informational purposes only. The information provided is not a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, nor is it to be construed as such. We cannot guarantee that the information provided on the Get Pregnant Naturally podcast reflects the most up-to-date medical research. Information is provided without representation or warranties of any kind. Please consult a qualified physician for medical advice and always seek the advice of a qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding your health and nutrition program.